This is a Capricorn FM podcast. This grade 12 lesson is proudly brought to you by the Department of Education. Working together, we can do more providing quality education.
Evening, Capricorn FM listeners and grade 12 learners. Today, we're going to talk about the structure of paper 1 and the questions that are frequently appear in the question paper. Then I will start by outlining the format of paper 1. The duration of paper 1 is 2 hours and a half, and it consists of two sections, section A and section B. Section A is having 45 marks and 4 questions. The questions are as follows: multiple choice question, terminology, column match type of question, and the time replacement. Then the main topic that are going to be used in setting section A, we've got 3 main topics, is animal nutrition, animal production, protection and control, and animal reproduction. Then section B, again, of 3 questions, which is question 2 up to question 4, each being 1 or 5 marks. Sorry, both being 1 or 5 marks, each 35 marks. And question 2 to 4, they are going to be asked following the main topic, which means animal nutrition is having 35 marks, animal production, protection and control, 35 marks, animal reproduction, 35 marks, giving us 1 or 5 marks. Then let us look at the instructions that are used in multiple choice questions. We've got section A, question 1, which is multiple choice questions. Then the instruction is as follows. Various options are provided as possible answer to the following question. You choose the answer and write only the letter A to D next to the question number. Then a column match type of question. Indicate whether each of the description in column B applies to column A only, B only, both A and B, or none of the items in column A. You write only A only, B only, both A and B, or none next to the question number. Then the third question, you write the agricultural phrase for each of the following description next to the question number. Then the last one, which is term replacement, you change the underlying words in each of the following statement to make the statement true. You write only the correct words next to the question number. Then in our last plot, we did discuss about the question paper that are frequently appeared in the alimentary canal and one calculation which is called coefficient digestibility of meat. Then today, I want us to continue looking at other 3 remaining calculations, water flow program, Pearson square, nutritive ratio, and other questions based on nutrition and animal production, protection, and control. I will request learners to have pens and calculator because we're going to calculate. Let us start with the first question. The first question is a scenario of fodder flow program. They are saying a dairy farmer is keeping 100 cows on the pasture that supply a total of 450,000 kilogram of dry matter during rainy season, and two 116,000 kg of dry matter in dry season. The requirement for this animal is 360,000 kg dry matter in wet season, and increases to 390,000 kg of dry matter in dry season due to pregnancy and lactation. Each cow consumes 21 kg of dry matter on average per day. I will repeat the scenario. A dairy farmer is keeping 100 cows on a pasture that supplies a total of 450,000 kg of dry matter during rainy season and 216,000 kg of dry matter in dry season. Then the requirement of this animal is 360,000 kg in dry matter during wet season and increases to 390,000 kg in dry season due to pregnancy and lactation. Then each cow consumes 21 kg of dry matter per day. Then what learners must know? They must know the two concepts, which are feed available and feed requirement. Feed available and feed requirement. Feed available and feed requirement determines shortage and surplus of the order. They determine shortage and surplus of the order. Before we come to that, they must ensure that each or a livestock are getting fodder throughout the year. That's why we've got feed available and feed requirement. That determines shortage and surplus. Then the first question says, refers to the scenario and identify two problems that the farmer might encounter during dry season. And we have said in dry season, the feed available is 216,000 kilogram of dry matter, and the food requirement is 390,000 kg of dry matter. If you look at the feed available is less than feed requirement, which simply means the problem that the farmer will encounter here is shortage. Then what causes shortage of water? Because during dry season, the animal were pregnant and they were lactating, which means the two problems is shortage of water, which is caused by pregnancy and lactation. Then another question says, suggest one precaution measure that the farmer needs to take to prevent the problem. You'll suggest one precaution measure that the farmer needs to take to prevent the problem. Then the first one, the farmer can buy the supplement to supplement the fodder, which is not enough. Again, the farmer can store feed to serve as reserve during dry season. Again, the farmer can reschedule the breeding season to fall during wet season where there is enough pasture. Again, the farmer must reduce the number of animals before dry season. And the term used to reduce the number of animals is called culling. Then lastly, the farmer must follow the fodder flow management practices. But we were in need of only one precaution there. Then the last question under the scenario, it says, calculate in tons. You calculate in tons the amount of feed required by the cows per month. You show all your calculation. Then the learners must know that when we change tons into kg, we multiply by 1,000. And when we change kg into tons, we divide by 1,000. Then our fodder or our pasture were in kilograms. Now we are supposed to calculate in tons, which means the answer we got, we are going to divide it by 1,000. Then calculate in tons the amount of feed required by the cow per month to show all the calculation. Then this farmer is having 100 cows, and each cow is consuming 21 kg of dry matter per day. Then the first step that the learner must do is to multiply 100 by 21. Is to multiply 100 by 21. For how long? For a month. You calculate in terms of the amount of feed required by the cow per month. Then you multiply 100 by 21, multiply the answer by 30, because a month is having 30 days. Then the answer is going to give us 63,000 kg. Then we are supposed to change kg into tons, which means we'll divide 63,000 kg by 1,000, having 63 tons. That was the first question based on the scenario. Then let us look at another question based on nutritive ratio, which is another calculation. Then it says the table below shows the composition of two animals. Before we come to the calculation, the main aim of calculating nutritive ratio, the farmer wanted to know the protein content of the feed. Why protein? Protein is very much important in agriculture because it's responsible for production, reproduction, and growth. That's why the farmer must know the protein content of the feed. Then in this calculation, we are going to have two percentages. Is the percentage of TDN and the percentage of DP. Then the learner must have to find the third percentage, which is the percentage of DNNS. TDN stands for total digestible nutrients. DP stands for digestible protein. DNS stands for digestible non-nitrogenous substances. Then, in order to get the DNNS, the learner must subtract DP from TDN. Then in our case here, our DP is 70%. Our TDN is 12%. It simply means that in order to get the DNNS, the learner must subtract 12 from 70. Having 58. Then the formula of the calculation says NR, which is nutritive ratio, is equals to 1:2, because it's a ratio, DNNS over DP. And in our case here, our DP is 58, and our DNS is 58, our DP is 12, which means we're going to divide 58 by 12, giving 1:4, 4.83. That is our nutritive ratio. Then let us go to short commercial break. We'll be back after this. Thank you. Before the break, we were still talking about the calculation of nutritive ratio. The answer we got was 1:4.83. Then the learners must be able to interpret the answer we got. They are saying nutritive ratio, which is less than 1:6, is called narrow nutritive ratio, is very rich in protein, and it can be used or given to animal for the following reasons: production, protection, production, reproduction, and growth. Then again, the nutritive ratio, which is more than 1:6, it is called wide nutritive ratio, and it can be given to animal for the following reasons: maintenance, fattening, and energy supply. And then our answer was 1:4.83, which means the nutritive ratio there is narrow, rich in protein, and it can be given to animal for production, reproduction, and growth. Then let us look at another question based on the Pearson square, another calculation which is called Pearson square. Then what is the main aim of this calculation? The main aim of this calculation here, the farmer wanted to mix two feeds in order to get the desired protein for certain animals. The farmer wanted to mix two feeds in order to get the desired protein for certain animals, which means we are going to have 3 percentages here. And percentage of desired protein. The learner is going to have 3 percentages: percentage of feed A, percentage of feed B, and percentage of desired protein. Then after this percentage, the learner is expected to draw a square. That's why the calculation is called Pearson square. The learner is expected to draw a square and follow the 5 rules. Let's say, for an example, percentage of feed A is 9, percentage of feed B is 44, percentage the desired protein is 17. Then the learner must follow 5 rules. Rule number 1, the percentage of feed A is written on the top left-hand corner of the square, and percentage of feed B is written on the bottom left-hand corner of the square. Then the desired protein is written in the middle of the square. And then in our case here, percentage of feed A is 9, which means you are going to write it on the top left-hand corner of the square. And percentage of feed B is 44. You are going to write it on the bottom left-hand corner of the square. Percentage of DP is 17. You are going to write it in the middle of the square. Then the arrow of feed A descend from left to right, while the arrow of feed B ascend from left to right. Then the first question says, you find the parts of feed A and feed B. Those arrows help the learner to subtract. When finding the parts of feed A, you are going to say 44, which is the percentage of B, minus 17, which is going to give us 44 minus 17, which is going to give us 27 parts of A. And that one of the A, you will say 17 minus 9, which is going to give us 8 parts of feed B. That's the first question. Then the second question says, you find the ratio of feed A is to feed B. The ratio of feed A is to feed B is 27 parts of feed A is to 8 parts of feed B. Then another question says, you calculate the percentage of maize or the percentage of feed A to be included in the ration. Then you must first add the parts or the percentage. Let me give you the formula. The percentage of feed A is equal to the number of the parts of feed A divided by the number of the parts in the full ration multiplied by 100. Which simply means you are going to add the part. You are going to add 27 plus 28, which is going to give you 35. Then you will say percentage of PDA, because part of PDA is 27. You will say percentage of PDA is equals to 27 divided by 35 multiplied by 100. And then that will get 77.14%. Then let us switch over and look at another question based now on utility ratio. The question is based on component of feed. So the question is based on components of feed. In agricultural science, we have got six components of feed, but they are represented by schematic representation. They are represented by schematic representation. The first column of the schematic representation is feed. And a feed is made up of water and dry matter. A feed is made up of water and dry matter, which means water and dry matter is the column, second column of the schematic representation. Then the dry matter is represented by organic and inorganic matter. Dry matter is represented by organic and inorganic matter. Then organic matter, examples of organic matter are carbohydrates, protein, lipids, and vitamins. And examples of inorganic matter, we've got only minerals. Then in the schematic representation, we have got label A, B, and C. And label A, B, and C, the first label A, it is in the second column where there is water and dry matter. Then another label, it is in the third column where there is organic matter and inorganic matter. Then the last label is in the fourth column where there is carbohydrate, protein, lipids, and vitamins. Then the omitted parts, which means feed. The first question was, you identified the substance represented by A, B, C. Our A is dry matter. Our B is inorganic matter. And C is our vitamins. Then another question was, you must distinguish between fats and oil. You must distinguish between oil and fats. The difference between oil and fats, oil is from plant origin, while fats is from animal origin. Again, oil becomes liquid at room temperature, while fats becomes solid at room temperature. Then the last question was, you state the end product of the digestion of the following, carbohydrates and protein. Then the end product of carbohydrates after digestion is glucose, and the end product of protein after digestion is amino acids. Then let us look at another question that is frequently appears on the question paper, which is question based on the type of feed. Question based on the type of feed. We've got two types of feed in agriculture. It's concentrate and roughage. It's concentrate and roughage. Then we've been given a table with concentrate and roughage. Then we've got type of feed, which is maize, fish meal, lucerne, and barley. Then the first question was, identify with a reason a feed in the table above that will be suitable for the growing of calves. Then when we check at the types of concentrate. We have got concentrate rich in protein and concentrate rich in carbohydrates. Then in our case here, we've got fish meal. Fish meal is responsible or is a concentrate rich in protein. And protein is responsible for growth, which means the answer is fish meal because it is responsible for growth. Then number two, you identify with the reason a feed in the table above that will be suitable for cattle that aren't for sale. In our table, we've got maize meal. Maize meal is a concentrate that is rich in carbohydrates, and the carbohydrate is responsible for fattening of animals. Then lastly, you identify with a reason a feed in the table that will be suitable for non-producing cow. Then non-producing cow, the answer there is barley, because it is giving more carbohydrates than protein. Then let us look at another question. The question is about the energy value of wheat. It's about the energy value of wheat. Then we've got four energy value of wheat. There's gross energy, digestible energy, metabolic energy, and net energy. There's gross energy, digestible energy, metabolic energy, and net energy. Then what is gross energy? Gross energy is the total amount of energy produced when the feed is completely oxidized. And what is digestible energy? Digestible energy is the gross energy minus energy lost in the manure. Then what is metabolic energy? Metabolic energy is the digestible energy minus energy lost through urine and fermentation gases. Then lastly, we have got net energy, which is metabolic energy minus energy lost as heat. This is how the four energy values are defined. Then let us look now at another question now based on animal production protection, nutrition, animal protection, production, and animal control. Then the first question, it is based on the type of production system. In agriculture, we have got two production systems, namely intensive and extensive. It's intensive and extensive. Then we've got two pictures there. The first picture, we have got cattle that are astray or that are alone in the farm. Then picture B, we've got cattle that are enclosed in a feedlot. We've got cattle that are enclosed in the feedlot. Then the first question, it says identify the production system A and B. You identify the production system A and B. Then the production system A is extensive production system, and production system B, because animals are kept in an enclosed area, it is called intensive production. Then another question was, you compare the difference between production system A and production system B using the following headlines. Number one is environmental control. Number two, productivity. Number three, human input. And the last one is capital. We are comparing the difference between production system number A as far as the following is concerned. Number one is environmental control. Number two is productivity. Number three is human input. And the last one is capital. Then a learner here is expected to draw a table. Then the heading of the table is, in other words, the learner must tabulate the differences between environmental, I mean the difference between extensive and intensive production system. And then under environmental control, in extensive system number A, which is here temperature is not controlled here, or there is less control on the environment. But under intensive production B, temperature is controlled inside a feedlot. Then productivity in extensive production is less, while productivity in intensive production is high. Human input, less labors are needed in extension production, while in intensive production, more laborers are needed. Capital input, in extensive production, low capital input, and in intensive production, there is high capital input to maximize the production. And then again, let us look at another question. And the question now is based on, again, the question is based on extensive and intensive farming. Then we have got a scenario here. The production system below, or before we come to this scenario, let us go to short commercial break. We'll be back after this. Yeah, thank you very much. Before the break, I was still saying we've got a scenario here, but the question is based again on the production system. The production system below is commonly used in rural communities on a small scale. The chicken here are fed using leftover food from the house and the grain crops from the field. The production system below is commonly used in a rural community on a small scale farming. The chicken here are fed using leftover food from the house and the grain crops from the field. Then the first question was, you identify the type of poultry production system shown or depicted by the scenario above. The type of production system is backyard or free range system. Then you name the three advantages of this system. The three advantages of this system: number one, less expensive or cheaper. It's very easy to manage. There is no special equipment needed, no expert knowledge needed, and it is more environmental friendly. These are the three advantages of backyard or free range system. Then another question was, you state three problems that could be associated with this type of production system. Then the three problems that can be associated with this production system: number one, easy to contract disease. There is feeding on less nutritious food, high risk towards predators, high risk towards theft of animals, exposed to extreme environmental conditions, more feed energy is utilized for non-production purposes. Those are problems that will be associated with a free range or backyard system that is used in fowl. I will repeat these problems: easy to contract disease, poor feeding, high risk towards predators, high risk towards theft of animal, exposed to extreme environmental conditions, and more or less it is utilized for non-production purpose. Then again, let us look at another question. The question is based on the feeding and temperature, feeding requirement and temperature. Then we've got a table which shows the age of chickens. We've got chicken from 0 to 1. Those chickens are fed with starter mesh. Chickens from 1 to 2 years, I mean 1 to 2 weeks, sorry, they're fed with starter mesh. Chickens from 3 to 4 weeks, they are fed with growing mesh. And chickens from 5 to slaughter are fed with initial mesh. And then the nutrition value of starter mesh is 23 protein, fortified with vitamins and minerals. Then from 1 to 2 starter mesh, 23 protein, fortified with vitamin and minerals. Then 3 to 4 grower mesh, 20 protein, fortified with vitamins and minerals. Then the finisher is 18 protein, fortified with carbohydrates. And then the first question was, you identify the main nutrient for broiler of all age groups. And the main nutrient there is protein, because in all ages, protein is there. Then indicate the importance of the nutrient in question 1.1 for broilers, which means this is the importance of nitrogen. Number one, need the protein for muscle and tissue growth. It acts as antibiotics to provide immunity. Cartilagens support tendons, ligaments, and a bib. Controls the body fluid balance and muscle contraction. Lastly, repair worn out tissues. Those are the functions of protein. And then, question 3, you give the main reason for inclusion of carbohydrates in the finisher. You give main reason for inclusion of carbohydrates in the finisher mesh. The reason is carbohydrates is needed for fattening and rounding off of the chickens. Carbohydrates is needed for fattening and rounding off of the chickens. That's why carbohydrates now it is found in the finisher mesh. Then you deduce the relationship between protein level of the feed, temperature requirements, and the age of the broiler. Then the older, the younger the broiler, the higher the protein level of the feed, because the broiler still needs to grow, and protein is responsible for growth. It says the younger the broiler, the higher the protein level of the feed, and the higher the temperature requirement, or vice versa. The older the broiler, the lower the protein level of feed, and the lower the temperature. Then let us look at another another question based on the question now is based on animal handling now. Animal handling. And then we've got the picture of the tool which is used to handle the animal. And the tool is Elastrator. The tool is called Elastrator. Then the question was, the first question was, name the purpose, name the tool management practice for this apparatus in sheep. The first question, you identified the apparatus. The apparatus was Elastrator. Then the second question, you name the tool management practices for this apparatus in sheep. Number one is there for tail docking. Number two, Elastrator is there for castration in young animals. Then give one reason why each of the management practice in question two is important. Then tail docking is for hygienic purpose and prevention of blowfly attack. Number two is for better reproduction. Then castration for better breeding purpose. And all inferior males and animals are castrated, and there is less aggression in older males. Those are the two reasons of the management practices that are tail docking and castration. Let me repeat. The purpose of tail docking is for hygienic purpose, by preventing blowfly attack. Another purpose is for better production. Castration for better breeding purposes. And all inferior males are castrated, and there is less aggression of older animals. Then let us look at another question now. Again, it is based on animal handling. Then the loading and transportation of an animal may cause animal stress and physical injury. Then proper facility should be used when loading animals, and a permit must be carried when transporting farm animals. Then the first question was, you name the facility used to direct farm animal to the loading ramp. The facility is called the crash. The facility is called the crash. It's the one which is used to direct animals towards the loading ramp. Then give two measures to consider when designing a crash or facility in question one, which is the crash. Then the reasons are as follows. It should be have high, strong and solid side in order to prevent animal from seeing out. Number two, should have single or narrow caps that are not sharp. Lastly, nothing that can harm or hurt or cause injury to animal should be included. Those are the designs that must be followed when preparing a crash that direct animal to the loading ramp. Number one, should have high, strong, solid side in order to prevent animals from swing out. Number two, should have single narrow caps that are not sharp. Lastly, nothing that can harm, hurt, or cause injury to animal should be included. Then another question. You identify the relevant document carried by the driver when transporting farm animal. The relevant document is permit, or a transport permit must be there when a driver is transporting animal. Then the last question, you state two precaution measures a farmer has to take to reduce the stress when transporting animals. The state two precaution measures a farmer has to take to reduce the stress when transporting a farm animal. Number one, keep animals to be transported together for 2 to 3 days. You keep animals to be transported together for 2 to 3 days. Then you group animals of the same size, sex, and age together. You must keep animals to be transported together for 2 to 3 days, and you group animals of the same size, sex, and age together. Then let us look at another question. Based now on, the question is based on control now. The question is based on animal control. Then, parasites can cause serious economic losses, and the farmer should be able to control a parasite. They are saying parasites can cause a serious economic loss, and the farmer should be able to ensure that parasites are effectively controlled. Then the first question was, you suggest the most appropriate method used to administer remedy control of each of the following parasites and condition. You suggest the most appropriate method used to administer remedy to control each of the following parasites and condition. Number one, to eradicate round and flat worms. Then here, dosing, drenching, injection, and provision of leaves are used. In order to eradicate roundworms and flatworms, we use the following: dosing, drenching, injection, and provision of leaves. Then number two, method number two, treat external parasites such as ticks and mites. Dipping, spraying, spot treatment, and injection are used. And the last one, to treat blowfly attacking open wounds. What do we use to treat blowfly attacking the wounds? Cleaning, applying ointment, medication, apply of insecticides, and dipping is used. Let me repeat this question very quickly. Parasite can cause seriously economic losses, and the farmer should control them efficiently. Then you suggest the most appropriate method used to administer remedies to control each of the following parasite and condition. Number one, to eradicate roundworms and flatworms. Dosing, drenching, injection, and provision of link is used. Number two, to treat external parasites such as ticks and mites. Dipping, spraying, spot treatment, and injection is used. Lastly, to treat blowfly attacking open wounds. Cleaning, applying ointments, medication, and apply of insecticides is used. Then let us look at the last question, which is based now on, again, it is based on plant poisoning now. This one is based on plant poisoning. Then salt is one of the essential minerals needed by animals, but the consumption of large amounts can be fatal to the livestock. Salt is one of the essential needed by animal, essential mineral needed by animal, but the consumption of large amount can cause fatal to livestock. Indicate one symptom of salt poisoning. The one system of salt poisoning. So symptoms of salt poisoning, their main is excessive salivation, increased thirsty, vomiting, and regurgitation, constipation, aggression, red and dry mucous membrane, increased urination and defecation, abnormal pain, and diarrhea. Then number two, suggest two measures that the farmer can take to treat animal with salt poison. Provision of fresh water in a small amount at short intervals. Give young animal isotonic saline solution, hypertonic dextrose, remove the source of soil poison. Let me repeat this first because of time. Salt is an essential mineral needed by animal, but consumption of large amount can be fatal to livestock. Indicate one symptoms of salt poisoning: excessive salivation, increased thirst, vomiting, constipation, aggression, abnormal pain, and diarrhea. Then suggest two measures the farmer can take to treat salt poisoning: provision of fresh water, give young animal isotonic saline solution, lastly, remove the source of salt poisoning. Thank you very much.
This grade 12 lesson was proudly brought to you by the Department of Education. Working together, we can do more, providing quality education.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.